I have Rayon right here, right now. I'm going to play a track from their CD, their CD Blow Away by Rayon. This is what they sound like. Hope you enjoy it. And then we'll chat with them and we'll do some live stuff. So check it out. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. That was Rayon. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Who am I looking at right now?
I'm Walter.
I'm Mimi.
Hello, Walter. Hello, Mimi. And there's another member of your group as well who could make it today, right?
Yeah, it's Brian Keats.
All right. So, Walter, this is Rayon is your brainchild, is it not?
Pretty much so, yeah. For a while, it's been going on, just writing songs and putting music together and trying to find the whole element of the band, and then piecing it out and finding band members, and finally found a bass player and a drummer and got the whole band together and just writing away.
So when you started, we were talking a little bit about this before, you were on your own and you were playing all the instruments and
right.
just doing track recording.
Right.
So did you change that just so that you could go live? Did you add, you know, put together a band so that you could go live, or did you feel that you needed some more collaborative influences?
Well, I just started writing a lot of songs and then putting a lot of the layers on the songs. I was more interested in just adding layers to my music and seeing what happens when you add these layers to multiple track recordings. I used to take like two cassette decks, record on one cassette deck, and then do an overdub with another cassette deck and just go back and forth about 20 times because I really couldn't afford multi-track recorders. And I don't even know if they had them back then. But and got the music together, but ideally I wanted to do the band and get this band together. And ideally I didn't even want to be the singer of the band. I just wanted to be the songwriter, guitar player, kind of like Pete Townsend type of thing. And we tried to audition a lot of people. For the bass player, we auditioned like 20 people, like really good top-notch bass players. And then she was this little girl from Japan that came in and auditioned.
6 years ago?
She comes in with this huge amplifier. It's taller than her. And Brian, who was auditioning with all the bass players, she came in and like played with us and jammed. She literally broke a string within 5 minutes and her hands were bleeding. And we're going, you're in. Goodbye, guys.
But you said, it's my you said story. I can play.
So Mimi, what possessed you to go to this this audition for this band and play so hard that your fingers started to bleed?
I usually play bass so hard more. I'm more like rock and roll bass player. And then I really like his music, and then I'm so into it. I really want to join the band. And,
so you were like a fan before you became a part of the band.
She actually practiced and learned the songs before she came into rehearsal, the audition.
Oh wow!
And you get these these people that just go, oh, I can wing it.
I'll wing it, yeah.
And I'll just play all over the place. She actually played the songs how it is on the record, so yeah. That's what we wanted.
And so from that audition to actually playing live, was it an easy transition?
Yeah, it was. Just when you're playing with great musicians, it makes such a big difference, a huge difference. I mean, I played with other people that are just like friends, and I won't mention their name, but they weren't the talented people, but you get along with them, and it's fun to play and jam and have fun. But when it comes down to really wanting to get your music, at a different level, you need to play with musicians who are serious and take it serious. And she's really serious about her music. She came out here from Japan to pursue music, so that says a lot.
Since your drummer's not here and can't speak for himself, how did he end up in the band?
Well, he ended up in the band a while back when he was playing with us. I guess he played with a lot of other bands. He's done a lot of records. He played with the Misfits. He's played with Three Day Willie and a bunch of bands. And he was just not in a band. I think he saw us play and approached us and said, hey, I want to come play with you guys. And I go, sure. And I wasn't really, I didn't know much about him. And we jammed. He nailed the song just like she nailed the song, Just one take. I go, you're it, man. You did your homework. That's what we like, and it sounded good, and we stuck with him. He's the type of drummer that can actually play by himself. He knows the songs. Like, he's the musical drummer. He's just, not technical. He can play the songs without us. Like, we're in the studio. He can play it without us. Just by himself, to the T, on the click, just perfectly.
Well, you were saying before how you have all the instrumentation of the song in your head, besides just the guitar, the vocals. So you can probably really tell immediately if a member of the band isn't clicking right.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Well, listen. Why don't we go into an acoustic song, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of your influences and where you get your music from.
Sure.
You're listening to Rayon. On Is Good on killradio.org. Just give us a second to set up the mics.
You might want to turn this one. All right. The song's called Losing My Style. It's about all the drama queens out there. There you go again, kissing up to him, breaking all the rules from the start. You can't pretend it doesn't exist. But for a while, just for a while, I lose my style. Now you think you're something else. Is it deep within? Now you think you're someone else. You can't pretend it. It doesn't exist. But for a while, just for a while, I lose my style.
Hooray! That's Rayon. You're listening to killradio.org. The show is called It's Good. Thanks for listening.
It's a new song?
That's a new song.
That was new to Mimi.
That was new to her. Yeah, I was just a little dilly. Yeah, I just, you know, these songs. I got so many songs, but yeah, it's going to be on our third album.
Ah, I see.
Which our first album is not out yet.
I see. So this is what I'm looking at right now. It's your first album, Blow
No,
Away?
Our EP.
This is your EP.
Our first album should be out in September.
Oh, excellent. And are some of the songs from the EP going to be on it, or is
actually,
it a completely new work?
Yeah. You see, I'll explain this EP. This EP was actually a demo, got promoted to EP status. And we recorded this just in our rehearsal studio just to see what the songs sounded like, and a reflection back to us. We can hear, oh, wow, this is what this sounds like. Because, you know, you're a musician. You're always playing the song, but you really never hear it how it sounds like. So this is just was just done on 8 tracks. So it's not really a professional recording. It was all mixed by me. So it's not like the most professional recording. And so the studio that we're in, we just recorded with John Avila from Oingo Boingo, who has some very good producing and engineering skills. And the record that we're doing in there is just, it's just incredibly, sounds incredible. It's just great. So that's got about 13 songs on it. And we got Don't Worry from it, and Gave You Up, and So Well from the EP that's going to be on the new record.
Excellent, excellent. So this this new album is pretty highly anticipated, huh?
Yeah, especially by us. This has been a long-awaited album. We've been in the studio with a couple different producers trying to attack this record, and their approach to it was just, you know, horrible. You know, I said, cancel it. I'm not putting out this record because I don't like it. So
what was the approach? What did people want to do with your music that didn't set well with you?
It just seems like, you know, they want to try to make it as commercial, mm-hmm. which, you know, I just like the edge and the darkness and real eerie stuff and trippy stuff, and I don't like to do things. It just made it real sterile sounding and really like...
They wanted something that was easy to market,
yeah,
and package.
But it also made it sound big, you know, too big, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like Donovan, Lee, and, you know, stuff,
yeah,
like that, you know, just make it more simplistic but cool and vibey. There was no vibe in it. And then, you know, we just said goodbye to that. And that was like, we almost finished the whole record, basically. So I said, I can't put this out. I'm not feeling it. I mean, my EP sounds better. And that's why I put out the EP, because I was so frustrated the way the record was coming out. And after all the money we put in, I said, I keep going back to my EP. And I go, maybe the recording's not so great. But the vibe is there.
But that's what Rayon sounds like.
Yeah, but the vibe is there. And so we hooked up with this Oingo Boingo guy, John Avila. And he just did it right. Yeah. It's really vibing. Great. 13 songs.
Excellent. Oh, actually, I want to read a little thing here from your one sheet from the Los Angeles Times. It says, though the name suggests Ensign's, Ensign being your last name. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, Walter Ensign. That's right.
Ensign's trio sounds synthetic. Rayon is anything but. But with the frontman's...
Flanged.
I always screw that one up. Flanged vocals poking through lush guitars. Rayon's music seems as organic as an ocean swell. We're still trying to define the sound, Ensign says, but I love layers, even if it's just to experiment. Layers of strings, layers of guitars. I like doing trippy things. So I just like, when you said that, I decided to read that.
Yeah, I think it came from when I was a little kid and I saw that movie Apocalypse Now.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was so trippy, you know. I mean, not the war is bad, but more of the visual trippy stuff.
Yeah.
And I started, like, that's when I had Echoplex and my SG Gibson. And I just did all this trippy things. And, you know, you could play with the Echoplex. Mm-hmm. And I, like, wrote my own music to Apocalypse Now.
Nice.
And I did stuff like that to a lot of different movies that I thought were trippy. And that's how I kind of started. It was doing more trippy guitar effects than actually writing songs.
So it's really important to you not to be just another rock band.
No, I'm more like, you know, just writing songs. It's usually the idea comes out first of what I want to write about, like analyze somebody, their psychology, you know, problems, what they have, and then I just write a song about them. Just like Losing My Style. It was about my sister. And you know... Eventually, all the elements get put together, and it's usually a doodle. I start off with a doodle. I love that hook or mm-hmm. something like that, and then it kind of creates from there.
Now, do you write all the music, or is there some collaboration amongst your band members? Like, Mimi, do you have some input on how the bass is going to come out, or does he just tell you what he wants to hear?
Yeah, I think I come up with my bass line, but usually Walter writes all songs, right?
I hope so.
Sometimes she say, no, Mimi, you should play like this.
Yeah. Well, usually she does surprise me a lot. She'll try some bass line, and I don't think that fits. It doesn't work. And then after I lay down my tracks, I go, God, that works. I gotta call her up. This really did work. Forget what I said.
You're crying. I was wrong.
Well, I have to admit my mistake that I was wrong. Otherwise, I don't want to take a great bass line out of the song.
Right. So, yeah. Right. Because the song is what matters most.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ready to go into another one?
Yeah. We sure can. I think I'd like to do more of a shouting voice song.
Okay.
It's going to be on our next record. And
it's on MySpace, too?
Oh, yeah. It's a song on MySpace. It's a really trippy song. And I'm going to try to do it acoustically,
awesome,
without all the violins.
So the original full version of this song is on MySpace?
Yeah.
So it's myspace.com/rayon, R-A-Y-O-N.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's hear it. You're listening to Rayon on Is Good on killradio.org.
Is Good. Slide. Well, it all fell down. No time, 'cause it all fell down like a is coffee. I think all the girls are made. Wow, that's strange. Jesus, like a wave. Right away. I don't care what anyone does. You can laugh and say what you want. There's every time when she does a dance. Every time it's my surprise. Oh, I know ego. I love life. I want my coffee. No, I don't know Jesus. But Jesus sounds like throwing plastic around. Makes no noise. Makes no noise. Makes no noise.
Thank you, Rayon, for coming in and sharing your wares. I think I got
a little confused on that. That wasn't the song I was going to play.
Oh, you just opened your mouth and a different song came out?
Looking at this,
sounded right to me.
Looking at this list here, I get confused.
I think it was on your website. That you were one of the Amoeba homegrown picks?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. You're actually, I think, like the third or fourth band has been on this show that just, like, after, I was telling you before, I always find out that these bands are really good after I book them. But was it Silver and an Eyesight Project? I think another one were also on Amoebas. But how did you get picked for that?
Gosh, I don't know how that happened. That, so I think that, AJ, this guy named AJ works there, like the CD, and he, I guess, brought it to them, and or he picked it,
mm-hmm,
and liked the song and played it in the store, and I guess that's how they, I really don't know how they do that, actually.
But your CD is available, your EP is available at Amoeba?
Oh, sure, it's at
Tower, some other places.
Virgin, and Amoeba.
Cool. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how people respond to your music, especially people who can help you.
Well, it's kind of exciting that we get this new reaction. It seems like people just, they find it and they react to it, and they think that, wow, they just found something brand new that's been undiscovered or something like that. Seems like when they play it, the store called us up from Amoeba Records, and they said, we just played your CD, and a bunch of people came to the counter wanting to know who the band was, and we want to buy more CDs from you. Oh, okay, good.
That's nice.
Can you kind of put out a full-length album so that the record plays longer in the store? Okay. Okay, we'll do a full-length album so you can play the record longer in the store.
If for no other reason. tell me about some of your early experiences playing live and sort of how you got into the groove of like, okay, this is our live act. This is how we know what to do. Was it easy or did it take some practice?
It took many years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely a lot of practice. I mean, I'm not very like a, I'm more of a guitar player, songwriter person, kind of like Willie Nelson, if I had to compare someone. He doesn't have the greatest voice in the world, but more of a songwriter. So it took, I always wanted to find the perfect musicians in the band. It took a long time to find that.
Mm-hmm. And musicians whose fingers would bleed to get in.
Exactly. And I was developing during that whole time. I was playing with a lot of other bands as well. You know, they're all my bands, but just different bands that I was in that I started. And just always wanted to find the right musicians. And I always stuck with just friends. But I think getting to that stage where we're at right now is playing with great musicians. I think that's what really puts us on to this level right now.
Cool. Why don't we listen to another track from your EP and figure out what Amoeba was thinking. which track do you want to hear next?
Let's two.
Track two? All right, sounds good. By the way, if you want to instant message me or anyone from Rayon, you can do so. Our AOL instant message, her handle is Kill Radio Station. That's one word, Kill Radio Station. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Rayon.
Life. I gave you up, no more life.
we're back with Walter and Mimi of Rayon. So, Walter, what are you so upset about, man? what happened when you were a kid that made you go, you know what, I'm going to be a musician. I'm going to pick up a guitar, and I'm going to start writing songs. What was the driving force behind sending you in this direction?
Gosh, that's a good question. I don't think I have an edge or a bad tempered or anything that drove me into punk rock. I think, you know, I don't know. I was always the new kid in school. My dad moved a lot, so we always moved, and I was always a new kid. So when you're always a new kid in school, you kind of, like, want attention type of thing, or you need to. And I think I found out that later that everything that happened to me in my life really didn't happen. That's why I went into music. It happened because I think my grandfather, I didn't find this out until I was like 25. My grandfather was in the Sons of the Pioneers, played with Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, Spade Cooley, all the old Western country stars. He played every instrument. He played guitar, violin, and he had his own band called the Western Stars, and did all that, you know, all that music. And that's where I think I got all my music from, because my brother's not really musical, and I was like, where'd this music come from? You know, I asked my grandma.
So it's like a recessive gene.
Yeah, that's what I think. It passed on like that way. You know.
That's great. I noticed on your MySpace that you have gotten some music into movies. Tell me about that experience.
Oh, yeah. It was a good experience.
What are these
experience.
Movies?
Well, we did The Hollow. We actually got four songs in there. And it's a Halloween movie. It comes out every Halloween on the Family Channel. And some songs are from the EP. I'm not sure. Let's think. One song is from the EP. But they put four songs on there. That was pretty exciting. And we did another movie called The Job with starring Daryl Hannah and Brad Renfro and Dominique Swain from the... she was in that movie. You know what movie she was from?
Conduct.
Come on, Dominique Swain. She was in that movie. She played the...
I can picture her, too.
Where that... The girl, who knows it, call in.
With the guy that did the thing and then...
All that bad stuff.
That one with head end credits and everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. But this wasn't music that you wrote for the films. This is music that I guess you submitted to their supervisors or something
right.
like that?
Right. Actually, they caught one song of ours that they liked, they wanted to use. And then they wanted more music. Mm-hmm. And then they picked more songs. And actually, I composed one song for the film where... The director came, they give you the movie, and they say, I want something from here to here, and put something together for us. They had another song in mind, but they couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they could afford me, so.
Well, you're invaluable, so.
Yeah.
How do you market yourself? How do you market Rayon? Is it mostly digital through MySpace and stuff like that, or do you rely more on the live experience and word of mouth?
Pretty much word of mouth, live, doing the live shows. We did a lot of live shows, and MySpace mostly. Now MySpace is really kicking in for us. I mean, that's probably the best marketing tool. So many other places, internet companies or music sites try to get us to go on there to put our stuff up, and I go, no, I have MySpace. I don't even pay attention to my website anymore. It's still under construction. It'll probably be under construction for another 20 years. I just put everything...
MySpace, it's great.
Yeah, MySpace is just so easy, and...
Well, I mean, it's
fun.
Only like 11:30 in the morning, and we just saw you had almost 200 plays already.
That's great.
I mean, I don't know. That seems like a lot to me.
Yesterday, I almost went up to 500, and I don't know what's going on there. Who are these people? But
people are listening. I mean, that's
people are listening.
We're
great. Getting some good comments, and these are the people that, you know, we want to hear our music. The people are into like. The bands we're into, like Echo and the Bunnymen and stuff like that. You know?
What are you going to do shortly before the debut album is released to get the word out?
Well, I think we're going to probably just post a bulletin on MySpace.
That's it.
That's it. That's all we need to do.
You know what? You're probably right. You're probably right. Would you be ready to go into another acoustic song?
Yeah, another depressing song. Sure, I got a lot of them.
You're listening to Rayon and Is Good on killradio.org.
Wake up,
and breathe. There's a new world I want to live. Old hearts won't last. It's over my head. Feel the tears in my face. Lonely at times, it's a look that you have to face. It's over my head. Feel the tears in my face. Lonely at times, it's a look that you have to face. It's a look that you have to face. There's nothing will ever remain. It's a look that you have to face. 'Cause nothing will ever change. It's a look that you have to face. And suddenly I have changed.
Don't ever change, Walter. That was great, man.
Thank you. A little mistake in there. We've been in the studio so much and just tied into these 13 songs, looping back over and over again. These songs are not in there, but you just get stuck in those same song chords. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Tell me the name Rayon. It's a little bit of a story. How you came up with, how you decided on Rayon as the name of the band?
Actually, we're at a backstage with Echo and the Bunnymen at the House of Blues, and backstage drinking beer with Will, and actually he's asking me a bunch of computer questions because I used to be a CTO, IT guy, and so I was giving him all this computer advice, and I've been dying to, like, you know, think of the name for the band. I mean, thinking of a name for a band is probably the hardest thing. You can have all these great songs, but then when it comes down to the name, you're stuck.
You can't just change it.
Yeah, you can literally go for 6 months and not have a good name, you know. Anyways, after he got all this advice from me, I go, dude, let me ask you something now. What do you think of this name? I threw him out all these names. How about? And he just was saying, why don't you call your band... Won't you call your band Rayon like your shirt? It's British. It's one word. Easy to remember. And I go, Rayon. That's a great name.
That's the you wearing the Rayon shirt.
Actually, my friend was wearing the shirt. So the name stuck, and we still remain Rayon to this day. Thanks to Will Sargent.
It's funny, before you got here, like an hour before you got here, I actually played an Echo and the Bunnymen song, Lips Like Sugar.
That's a
remix that
Lips
I had.
Lips Like Sugar. Sugar Kisses.
It's so funny because that's the first time I played that song. I just happened to pick up this 80s remix CD at Amoeba the other day.
Oh, no. Yeah. I love Echo and the Bunnymen. Still one of the greatest bands in the world. And even today, you go see them live. They're just, oh my God, still a number one band, number one fan. I just think they're great.
So what are some of your absolute best live performance experiences, and then follow that up with some of your absolute worst.
Yeah, well, I guess the good shows is when, you know, the crowd reacts to you and really gets into it, and they just don't stand there and look at you like they're stoned out of their mind or something like that. It's good to have interaction with the crowd, but I understand with L.A., you know, they're so used to seeing so much entertainment, you know, that
you have to really impress them. Really, yeah.
Seems like when you go out of town, just, you know, 50 miles away, you can almost go on stage and rub rocks together and the crowd goes crazy. You know,
Ian Hunter's show was a great one.
Yeah, Ian Hunter's show we played. Ian Hunter is the lead singer, was the singer of Mott the Hoople. And David Bowie, for you guys who don't know who he is, wrote a song for Ian Hunter. And he played it at that show. And it was a really good show. And we sold out all our merch. There's actually an interview that we did for that on MySpace. You can read about that show on MySpace. That was a really great, great show. Sold all our merch, our T-shirts, and we just kicked ourselves in the butt. Why wouldn't we have more with us? And that was just a great show where our egos got boosted a little bit.
And when people really respond to their music, is it?
I mean, we're signing autographs. They bought our CDs, and we're signing autographs. Where we, you know, some reason we've been people come up to me, they want our autographs, and I'm trying to find the person who's paying this person to come up to me to get our autograph, because we, you know, bands don't get, unsigned bands don't get their.
Well, I guess they figure you're going to be signed, famous.
I think it was the typo on the CD, you know, the song arrangement order.
Right, because they're in the wrong order.
Yeah, you know. Worst show we had.
Let me ask something. When someone responds really well to your music, do you think it's, what do you get more often, that it's something that you wrote lyrically that they're like, oh, this, you know, that touched them, oh, this song is about me, or is it more of an audio vibe, like, you know, this really rocks, really made my heart.
Well, the live shows are rockin' shows. They're nothing like, kind of like our mellow stuff that we kind of have on MySpace. That they're really high energy, so people get, you know, they hear us our CD, but when we play live, we pump it up about 25 times, And we do a lot of instrumentation, a lot of jams that are not on the recordings that are just like instrumentation, a lot of build-to-spill type stuff, just wacky orchestra stuff. And that's, people don't get to hear that on the CD, and we do that a lot of live, and that's what really gets the people crazy and enjoying the music. It's we found that it seems like everybody likes a different song. You know, they'll listen to all the tracks and, you know, Don't Worry is their favorite song, or Forget, or Gave You Up. It's not like all people just like this song, you know. So that's kind of surprising to us. Going, wow, you like that song, but you don't like that song.
Is there a wide demographic that responds to your music, or is it like a particular kind of?
It seems like the nerdy indie.
kind of people listen to my show.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. Those type of people. And we get a few old folks too, and we got punk rockers listening. Keith Morris is one of a big fan. He's sang on our record on "Don't Worry," actually, and he's from the Circle Jerks. For you who don't know, Keith Morris is, and from all these punk rockers like it, heavy metal people like it. It was just like, yeah, we do get a wide range of people that actually like it, and you know, I guess the people who don't like it are the people in Alabama.
Maybe Japanese people like it.
Yeah.
The Japanese people like it. One of your reviews was from a Japanese publication, I think, a Japanese magazine, something like that.
Japanese movie magazine. Called Roadshow. I got the interview from that magazine. Like, we did the soundtrack for the movie, and then they came up to me, "Hey, can we interview you? You're Japanese."
That must have been pretty exciting, huh? To like.
She came out.
My mom was, oh my gosh, my daughter in the magazine.
Well, there's a big magazine in called the Roadshow in Japan. So it's like, you know, Japan, you know, if you do music, that means whatever. Waste your life.
So she's taking a big risk.
Big risk. You know, they have little different things going on there. You can't lose your job there. If you lose your job, it's bad news.
So serious.
You can't smoke pot there either.
Mimi, did you come here specifically to work in music?
Yeah, to do music. Like, I've been
and to smoke pot.
No,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
She doesn't do that. She doesn't
I don't
do anything.
Smoke cigarette, don't do
no, no, no. That's a 6-year prison sentence for just a little joint in Japan.
In Japan, like music industry, it's too commercial. You know, people more care about your costume, how they look, you know, cheesy music.
They want to sell a product.
Yeah, sell a product. And here, more you know, free to express yourself, you know, free to play any kind of music. They don't care how you look. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more my style.
It's like variety out there. You go out there and it's all variety, vaudeville, whatever
right.
type acts, and you turn the channels. It seems like everybody's crying, too. I turn the channels, everyone's yeah. crying on there. They're very funny that way.
It's very sad because they don't have any indie rock. No. Okay, so your bad experience is playing live. We're up there, and the crowd's not responding, and you're in the middle of a song, and what's really going on in your head is, man, this sucks. What? Tell me, about, you must have had at least one of those experiences.
Usually, almost every time we play, it's like that.
Well, give me a prime example.
Well, most of the times we think we suck on stage because the monitor mix is really bad, and you can't hear what you sound like on stage the way it's represented out there.
Right.
So we go, that's the worst show we've ever done. I couldn't hear my vocals, my guitar. The drummer always goes, I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear anything. So we always say that, and we're all, like, insecure, and then everybody comes up and gives us a hug. You guys were great. You guys were great. It's going, yeah, right. You know, and all these people trying to build us up, you know. It seems like every show is our bad show. Unless we're playing in a smaller venue mm-hmm. where you can actually hear yourself, you know, and get a good monitor. One time we played at the Vibe Room, we had a pre-party, and that was a big mistake because all these people, we had a party, and they brought beers and beers and beers and beers and 12-packs everywhere, and I just accidentally
drunk.
Got a little too drunk before I went on stage, and I was all over the place. It was at the Vibe Room, and it was packed, too. I mean, people were standing up. It was horrible, but I couldn't figure out my amp situation. I realized my amp wasn't working. I was trying to hit it, and it just wasn't turned on.
Oh, man.
So I had to play the whole show, like, just, hello.
Did I hit it?
That was our worst show ever, and, yeah, you know, these experiences, as you grow, you learn, and you get to a plateau when those things don't happen anymore, mm-hmm. hopefully.
Yeah.
I've had some other fun experiences, but I don't know if I want to talk to them. We'll put that
yeah,
in our book
secret.
When I'm a little older.
Secret.
Well, it sounds like you made up for them at any rate.